will. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, you can get down in this world, you start looking at the news. I'm glad my hope ain't in the news. You can get down in this world, you start looking at everything that's going on in our nation. But can I tell you this morning, my hope is not in America. My hope is not in our president. My hope is not in you. My hope is not in me. My hope is in the fact that over there in a place called Jerusalem, there's still an empty tomb, honey. Amen. All right. Well, let's get to it. I wish they just kept singing. All right. Well, 1 Kings chapter number 11 is where we'll be this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 11. If you have your Bibles with you. Now, we're going to read this, and some of you is going to look at me and say, this ain't much of a homecoming message. Well, it's a Bible message. That's all I'm worried about. But it sure is good to be in church. Amen. All right. 1 Kings chapter number 11. We'll start reading in verse number 1. Our text here this morning. We won't keep you too long. I heard there's banana pudding, so we'll rush through this thing. All right. If everybody's there, say amen. All right, let's start reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives." Men say, God bless him. "Princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." And that's where we'll stop this morning. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you, God. It's been such a joy already to be in your house. Thank you for blessing us with your presence, God. How absolutely unworthy we are, God, for you to come and bless us. For you to come in a building this size, God, that can't even contain you. But God, because you love us, because you dwell literally in the midst of us, and on the inside of us, Lord, you've come here today. And Father, we just thank you for your presence being in here today through the sweet Holy Spirit. And God, I pray today that as we open up your Word, I pray that you'll open up our hearts. God, help us to receive whatever you want us to receive. God, I realize that today I can do absolutely nothing. These people haven't come to hear a word from me, for I don't have anything, God. They've come to hear a word from you. We need help in our lives. God, the only help that we find is in you. So I pray that you'll help us today through your Word and through the preaching of your Word. Cleanse us of our sin and fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we come to a time in the life of King Solomon, if you'll study the life of King Solomon there in our Bible, you'll find that King Solomon is a very interesting man to study. Solomon wrote three books in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, the book of Song of Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you'll look it up, the book of Ecclesiastes is one of the most popular books that is read in 2019, even amongst unbelievers, because we're living in a world that is very depressing. And if you'll read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find that at times it can get very depressing, because you'll find that without God in this world, there's no use to this world. Without God in the midst of us, in our heart, there's no reason for us living. And that's what Solomon comes to near the end of his life here. But I want you to see that it mentions David here. And King Solomon takes the throne in Jerusalem right after his father David was the king in Jerusalem. Now, you talk about a hard legacy to follow, Brother Johnny. Following the legacy of King David. David was the one who, as a teenager, walked out to the valley of Elah and slew that big melon head that you know as Goliath. Remember that? And then right after that, him and all of the Israelites, they just took over the Philistines. Well, David, after Saul died, he became king. And Israel was at the height of its power when David was king. I mean, Israel had peace. They had prosperity. Everybody loved David for the most part. And he was just one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever seen. And I'll tell you how great of a king David was. I had the opportunity to go to Israel 2 years ago in 2017. As I was over there, we went to a place called Mount Zion, which is right in the middle of Jerusalem. And that's where David made the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. And they have a little tomb there that they call it David's tomb, to where more than likely David was when he died and was buried and all this. And we got to go and see it. But as you walk in, they got it split down the middle just like this. And they got a little tomb that you can look at where supposedly David was buried, and women go on that side and men could go on that side. Well, we start walking in, and I'm walking through, and as I'm walking through, I see three women over here, and they're Jewish women, and they're literally on top of David's tomb crying their eyes out. And I was like, what's going on there? And I looked at our tour guide, and I said, what are they doing in there? He said, it happens every single day. He said, women all over Jerusalem that are Jews come to David's tomb and literally cry out over him. I said, why? He said, well, he's the greatest king Israel has ever seen. And he says, ever since David died, they haven't seen a king like David. And what they're crying out is for God to send another king just like David. And I looked at him, I said, they don't realize that another king was born in Bethlehem, do they? He said, no, sir. Because you see, a greater king was born one night in Bethlehem. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that shows you how much David was beloved by the Jewish people and by the Israelites. And I tell you that to tell you, that's literally the legacy that Solomon had to follow. A very hard legacy to follow. And Solomon, you'll start out in the book of 1 Kings, you'll see that Solomon started out as a very good king. You'll remember that Solomon was one of the wisest men to ever walk the face of the earth because God gave him that wisdom. But not only was Solomon the wisest person on earth, the Bible tells you he was also the richest man on earth during that time. I want you to listen to this. This is very interesting. Because right in chapter number 10, right before we read chapter number 11, it says this in verse 23. It says, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. So not only was he wise, but man, King Solomon was rich. And then it says this. It says, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603.6 talents of gold. So in 1 year, people would bring 666 talents of gold to Solomon. And I looked it up. How much would that be in our day? And most people will tell you that that much weight of gold is worth $1.2 billion today. $1.2 billion. And guess what? That was his salary for 1 year. 1 year he was getting $1.2 billion rolling in. Some of y'all women are thinking, boy, I'd like to meet King Solomon. And you see, Solomon just, I mean, he was a dude that just had it going on. He was not only smart, he had God-given wisdom. He was richer than everybody on the face of the earth. But not only that, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 3, it says Solomon loved the Lord. Some of you teenagers in here that are looking for a husband to marry, King Solomon would be somebody your daddy would be happy with. Because he had a lot of money, he wouldn't have to pay for you ever again. And not only that, Solomon was a man of God. Solomon started out as somebody who loved the Lord more than he loved anything else in his life. But the text that we read today, you'll find that although Solomon started out good, Solomon didn't finish well. And as our coach told us in high school, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And Solomon was a man who did not finish well. Because in verse number 4, the Bible says, now Solomon is old. And his heart has completely been turned away from God. And it's a sad end to the story of Solomon's life. You say, what in the world happened to Solomon? Let me use an illustration to tell you about what happened to Solomon. I have two brothers that are twins. They're older than me. They're 4 years older than me. And every year growing up, me and my parents and my brothers, we'd take a trip down to Myrtle Beach. We'd go to the beach for about a week. We'd go out on the beach. And I don't know how my parents put up with me and my two brothers fighting all the time. Because every time we would go to the beach, that'd be the time where you'd always fight the most. To be honest with you, you were tired of being around each other by the end of the week. But as we went down there, we'd go out on the beach, and we, more than likely, we was the loudest people out there. We're from South Carolina. We was redneck. We wasn't afraid to show it. But we'd get out there, and man, we'd just go at it. Especially when we got in the ocean, we'd have the football out there, and I'd throw it up to my brother, and my other brother would come and just tackle him as hard as he could. I mean, I'm surprised our heads are still on. But we went out there one time, and I can remember this. I was probably around 9, 10 years old. And every time we went out there, my parents would be up here on the sand, and they would have a specific umbrella to where I could know when I turned around, that's where I'm supposed to go back to. And I can remember me and my brothers had been out there throwing the football around for about 30 minutes. And I can remember I was like, man, I'm tired. I need to go get something to eat. And I turned around, and I started looking. I said, where are we at? Because our hotel ain't there. The umbrella ain't there. I can't see my dad anywhere. I looked at my brothers. I said, I don't know where we at. Do you know what happened? You know exactly what happened. You got out in the ocean, and what the ocean does is it continually pulls you away from where you first got in, doesn't it? And I looked back up, and I said, well, I'm lost. And we started just walking back a mile the other way. That's how far we had drifted. Can I tell you what happened to King Solomon? He got into this world, and this world continually pushed him, pushed him, pushed him, and pushed him away from the place that he was supposed to be walking with God. That's the same exact thing that happened. And can I tell you what this world wants to do to you and what it wants to do to me? It's continually push us and drive us away from our God. That is the current of this world. Not to push us towards God, to push us away from God. And you'll find that that is exactly what happened to Solomon. And today, God has laid on my heart a very stern warning for you and for me to beware of drifting. Beware of drifting. Because the same exact way you'll find that at the end of Solomon's life, he was somebody who drifted so far away from God. It is my job as your pastor to make sure that you not only start good, but man, I want you to finish good. I don't want you to come at the end of your life and say, I started out good as a Christian. I want you to say, I finished strong and I finished my race the same way Paul did. And can I tell you, in order to finish well, in order to finish strong, there is one thing you and I have to do every single day. Beware of drifting. Because this world wants to take us away from our God. I only got 2 points for you this morning. I told you I was hungry for banana pudding. We ain't got three. Number one, how did Solomon drift? Because the same way Solomon drifted is the same way it is so easy for you and I to drift as well. So the first thing that I want you to see is Solomon drifted, number one, because he ignored God's principles. He ignored God's principles. Verse 2 says this. Verse 1 says that he took many strange women to become his wives. And verse 2 says he took them of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for they will turn your heart away after their gods. So it says the Lord said there. That's referring back to a time. This is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Because Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, as you remember. And God said, I'm going to take you into this promised land. Right when Joshua and they tore down the walls of Jericho, they went into the promised land. But right before that, God said, before you get into there, there are some things that I need to tell you that you do not need to go when you get there. He said, this is one thing you need to do. Stay away from certain people. Do not intermingle with the people of that land because they don't like me, they don't like you, and they don't serve me, the same God that you have. He said, don't marry their daughters. Don't marry their sons. Why? Because they will turn your heart away from me. And you know what? Solomon knew exactly what God said. Solomon was literally living in that promised land in the middle of Jerusalem. That was the promised land. He knew he should not intermingle with the people of that land. And yet, we find him in chapter number 11 doing exactly what God said not to do. So So in other words, he just ignored what God said to do. And I can imagine that Solomon was doing this. He was a man of God. He was somebody who feared God. As he began to do this, you can imagine the voice that was inside of him. Solomon! Don't do that! Solomon! That's going to ruin your life! But you know what Solomon had to do? He had to push down that voice within him every single day and say, I realize what I'm doing is wrong, but shh. I realize that my conscience is telling me to turn back, but shh. And he had to push down that voice every single day. You know what I'm convinced of, David? You know what the most miserable life in this world is? It is not the life of a non-Christian. I've come to realize that. You know what the most miserable life is? To be a Christian and to continually push down that voice that will make you more miserable than anything else in this world. To say, I know what you're saying to me, God. I know what you want me to do, but not right now. That is the most miserable life you'll ever live. Because you see, you've seen people, and I've seen people, who are literally miserable because they're not walking with God. You can see it on the outside, everything looks good, but when they go to bed at night, it is the most miserable life they have ever lived. And you have seen people literally deathly sick because they are pushing down that voice. Because they have what's called a guilty conscience. You ever heard of that? That will make you and I deathly, deathly, deathly sick. Because that's the most miserable life that can ever be lived. And I want you to imagine, this is the life that Solomon is living right now. Continually pushing down that voice. Saying, I know, but I'm going this way. And the things that, I want you to realize this, because this is thrown at, especially people in the school today, our teenagers. The things that God tells us to do in this Bible, it's not to keep you from having fun. The things that God tells us to do in this Bible is to keep us from harming our lives and wrecking our lives. The certain things God tells you not to do, it's not because He doesn't want you to have fun. It's because He doesn't want you to ruin your entire life. And that's what we need to instill into the young people that are growing up. Listen, this Bible isn't here to harm us. It's here to help us. But when we choose to ignore God as Solomon did, we're going to end up in a place to where we're just totally drifting day by day by day away from God. And that is a horrible place to be. Not only, number one, you'll see that Solomon ignored God's principles, but you'll see that, number two, Solomon was influenced by godless people. He was influenced by godless people. Verse 1 says that Solomon took many strange women. That doesn't mean that they were weird. That means that they were people who did not worship the same God as Solomon did. It said he took daughters of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and if you're with us on Wednesday night, you know who those are. Those are the granddaughters of Lot. The Edomites, you'll find out this Wednesday that was the son of Isaac, Esau. They became the Edomites. And I want you to see the people that Solomon married in verse number 1 are people all throughout the Old Testament who absolutely hate Israel. They are people who absolutely hate and cannot stand the God of Israel. And yet Solomon is a man of God, and he is taking these people and bringing them not only into his house, but into God's house. What he did was he literally just opened the door and said, enemies, come on in. And he let them have first and the great access to everything in God's house. It wasn't the best idea for Solomon to allow the enemies in his house. And this is off topic, but don't open the door to your house to Satan, because he'll be more than glad to come in and mess up everything. So that's exactly what we see Solomon doing. He opened up the door of his house to all these enemies. And what happened was these women began to influence his life. See, Solomon probably thought starting out, I can influence their life, David. I can bring them to my God. But you'll see before this in chapter 3, Solomon was walking with God so close, just like David. But for some reason in chapter number 11, Solomon's no longer walking with God. You say, why is that? Because he didn't influence them. They influenced him. And you've seen that time and time and time again. And you know, if you're just like me, we can make the assumption that we can compromise the same way Solomon did. to say, well, I can help them in their relationship with God. Maybe they'll come to God because of my influence. Maybe I can bring them up. They won't bring me down. Come here, David. I've used you before with this. Watch how easy it is for David. Get up there. Pull me up.
Boy, it's heavy. He has gotten fatter.
It's a lot of banana pudding. Now watch this. Pull me down. Do it again. See that? That's what this world does. You say, well, I can hang out with them. I can go be with them on the weekends. Maybe I can lift them up. You see how easy that was? You ain't going to pull them up. You realize the only person that can pull them up is God Almighty. But the easiest thing for this world to do is to take us down the same way they did to Solomon. Because he was influenced by people who didn't care about God, who didn't even know what God said, and yet Solomon had been intermingling with these people. And I'll never forget what this preacher said, and I hope you never forget it either. Not every person in your life is put there by God. Not every person that is in your life was put there by God. Go to Solomon's life. Do you think God placed the Edomites, the Moabites, and all these women in Solomon's life? Do you think God was the one that did that? No. Who did it? It was the devil. Because the devil looked at Solomon and said, I know exactly what it takes to pull Solomon away from God. Put these women in his life. They will influence him. He won't be anywhere near God by the time I'm done with him. And you know what? The devil's been at it longer than you and longer than me, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what it takes to get you away from God, and he knows what it takes to get me away from God. And you know what? Most of the time, it is certain people that says, if I can just put them here, by the year's over, they won't be walking with God no more. Not everybody in your life has been placed there by God. But some people in your life has been placed there by Satan himself to say, this is going to be easy. I can pull them away from God. And that's exactly what he did to Solomon. And I want you to see in verse number 7, Solomon is now... Solomon, he built the temple. One of the greatest things the world has ever seen for God. And every day Solomon would go into that temple and bow down before the altar and worship God. Verse 7 says he is now at an altar made by false gods that was literally a piece of wood, and he's bowing down at a false altar. That's how far Solomon had drifted away from God. And can I tell you, I can guarantee it, Solomon bowed down at this false altar. 3 hours later, he would walk into the temple of God and bow down at the same one. Because you see, what the devil said is, you can go there. That don't matter. Just don't make that as important as you make other stuff. Do you realize the devil does not care if you come into church on Sunday? He don't care. He just don't want you to take church outside on Monday. He wants you to place other things more important in your life than God. Because if he can do that, you can just throw God to the side. Give him a handshake and say, all right. The devil wants you to place things that are more important than God in your life. But can I tell you, nothing's more important than God. It's quiet in here. But I tell you this, just tell you this and I'll be done. Paul in the New Testament, he's writing to the church at Colossae and he says, I not only teach every man, I not only preach to every man, he said, but I also warn every man that I may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. He said, it's not my job to preach to you, to teach to you. It is my job to warn you of certain things in this life that can take you away from God. And this is a warning not only to you, but it's a warning to me. Because the easiest thing to do in this world is drift away from God. Do you realize if you get in the Atlantic Ocean, you don't have to put in 1 ounce of energy to drift away from where you walked in? All you got to do is get in, and it'll take you away from where you got in. All we got to do is get in this world and start walking around. You don't have to put in any energy, and it'll take you and push you and push you further away from God every single day. And unless we have our feet dug in deep and established in the faith, this world will sweep us away. And you won't finish well, like Solomon did not. Can I tell you, the Christian life was not meant to pull you away from God. The Christian life was meant to draw you closer and closer to God. Let me ask you something today. Are you as close to God today as you've ever been? Can you look back at a time in your life and say, I wish I could go back to that time in my life where I was walking closer to God? Or can you look down today and say, this is the closest I've ever walked to God? If you can, praise the Lord. But for some of us, we can't. Because you can look back at a time and say, man, what joy I used to have. Man, what peace I used to have. Walking with God. Walking in close fellowship and communion with Him. You know, I imagine Solomon did that. He'd be sitting at his huge home, looking back saying, I wish I could just go back to where I was. I wish I could just go back to walking with God, fellowshipping with Him, and the joy that I had with Him. But what Solomon did not know is that he could. And what you may not know today, you can. That time in your life where you were walking closer to God, can I tell you, you can get back to that. You can walk closely with God again. You say, well, what do I do? It's very simple. And let me use this illustration to tell you. Super Bowl 51 was going on. The Patriots and the Falcons. Of course, the Patriots were in it. But I mean, the Falcons were whooping the Patriots. I think it was 28-3 at halftime. We were all looking. I almost went to bed. I said, this game's over. Well, Tom Brady comes out. It wasn't over. And you imagine if they were down 28-3, they would be sitting on the sideline just looking at each other saying, I can't wait to go home. This one's over. But as you looked on their sideline and they scanned across it on the camera, they were looking at each other. And I saw them say this, there's still another quarter to play. There's still another quarter to play. And you know what happened? They came back, tied the game, took it to overtime, and won the game. Because they said, there's still one more quarter to play. It doesn't matter how bad we stunk it up the first three quarters, there's still one more. And can I tell you, you may have stunk it up in your life. You may be somebody who has messed up. You may be somebody who has walked away from God, but God woke you up this morning, and because God woke you up, guess what? There's still another quarter to play. And the same way they turned it around is the same way you can turn your life around. You say, well, how do I do that? You know, religion says, I found God. You know what grace says? God found me. People say, I found God. No, you didn't. He found you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. That includes your pastor this morning. All we like sheep have gone astray, walked away from the flock, walked away from God. Every single one of us. But the Bible says, He's not a bad shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And although there's 100 in the flock, by the way, He knows there's 100. He knows there's 200. He knows whether there's 250. He knows every single person in His flock. And when one of them went missing, He said, y'all stay here. I'm going to look. And guess what? He didn't say, you have to find me. He said, I'm coming to find you. You say, I'm looking for God this morning. Don't. Just open up your ear and listen. Because what He's doing is He's calling out saying, come home. Come home. Come home. Can I tell you, we've got a good shepherd this morning. I don't know where you've been. I don't know if you've walked away from God in your life, but there is a shepherd out in this world who is walking and He's looking for you. And all you got to do is listen. Because the good shepherd's voice is always calling. I was listening to an old black preacher this morning in my office. And boy, I got excited already. But he started singing a song. And it said this, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years, but now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. There's a shepherd, and he's looking for you. And you know what he's saying? Come home. Come home. Because just like the prodigal son, you'll find that this world is a bad place to be. Home is the best place you'll ever be. Musicians, come on forward. If you would all stand to your feet this morning. Father, thank you for your word today. And God, thank you for the fact that although all we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God, you've already took the sin to where we walked away from you. And God, I pray for people in here today that are longing for that time in their life that they used to have, that time to where they used to walk with you. God, I pray today that your voice will be heard louder than any other voice in here. And God, I pray that you will call home somebody. And God, most of all, for somebody who's never even been home, for somebody who's never been to Christ, I pray that today they will come to you. If they are hearing your voice and you are knocking at the door of their heart, God, I pray today that will be the day where they open up their heart and allow you to come inside, Lord, and be their Lord and Savior. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time that we've had in your word, and I pray that you'll use it, God, to help us in our life, for we need help out in this world that wants to pull us away from you. God, help us. We love you today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Have your will and your way in this invitation. If anybody needs to come home, I pray they'll find their place on this altar and say, Lord, I'm tired of living out in this world. I want to come home to you. And if anybody needs to get saved, I pray that they will come and find you to be their Lord and Savior. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.